me, Mario. Welcome to the VookCast. Let's go.
Cool. So that was Mario, and this is the VookCast. My name is Stephen, and with me today, I have esteemed VookCast alumni. You might have missed him, Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Greetings and salutations.
How have you been?
I'm okay.
Oh, well, that's good.
Going swimmingly.
And as well as that, we've got Troy, who is our boy. Hello, Troy.
You went there. It's better than Troilet. How's it going?
Yeah, pretty great. Do you get that a lot?
The Troy boy thing.
Troy is our boy.
No, Troy, well, he's our boy. If he can't do it, no one will.
Well, with that.
Simpsons. It's from Simpsons.
I know it is.
Well, this is episode 120 of the VookCast. It's middle of May, and we've got some news to talk about. And as always, there's always Amiibo news to talk about. Starting with the silver and gold Mario Amiibos are coming to Australia. How exciting.
Woo!
So the silver Mario Amiibo was, to my knowledge, exclusive to EB Games. Am I right in saying that?
Yep. It was online and installed.
And if you want one, you better have already pre-ordered, because they sold out like in the afternoon of the day they were announced. So,
yeah.
I mean, I was tempted to grab one. Did any of you? Are any of you in the Amiibo hole of, you know, spending too much money on plastic?
Oh, you say that, but you know I am.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I wasn't sure if you're in it so deep that you'd buy, you know, silver and gold Amiibo, or if you're just limiting yourself to the Smash Bros or the standards.
I'm limiting myself to Smash Bros at the moment. Until something cooler comes along. Although, plus Yoshi.
Oh, yes. Everyone wants them.
So did you end up pre-ordering the silver one, Troy?
Yeah, pretty much as soon as I wake up, which was about 9 a.m., which is when they went up.
Yeah, like I got up a little bit after that and I was like, oh, surely it's going to be sold out. I think it was about 10 o'clock by the time I had checked, and they were still there, and I had my finger hovering over the buy button, but I didn't, and I feel like my bank account will thank me.
Does the silver one do anything the other Mario ones don't do other than be silver?
No, to my knowledge, it's just one of the Super Mario Collection Mario Amiibo, except it is silver.
Okay,
it's got like a Mario Party function-ish.
Oh, does it?
You know how you can collect tokens in Amiibo Party?
Yeah.
The gold one will have a gold token, which turns the figurine in the game gold as well.
Oh,
and
okay.
The silver one, I assume, will have a silver one.
Well, I learned something. That's kind of neat.
That's all I know.
I'm glad Amiibo Party is a terrible mode. Otherwise, I'd be tempted. but yeah, as well as a silver Mario Amiibo, which you could pre-order and, you know, get like a person who's not crazy. There's the gold Mario Amiibo, which is that coming out everywhere? Or I heard people say that it was Target.
Just Target.
Just and Target.
They don't pre-order.
No pre-orders.
I've seen people bitching about it on Twitter. It's glorious.
No doubt. Like, I don't think I want to go into a Target at, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and just have to deal with the inevitable flood of people that want a gold Amiibo.
Well, I was just about to talk about my plan, but then I realized that if anyone listens to this, I'd be just doing myself a disservice.
Just don't name the store.
does Target usually put stuff out on release day as well, or are they a bit slack on that?
No, they're pretty good.
Because
I
went down to pick up Kirby last week, and they didn't have it up there, but the EB did, so I just
went there.
Yeah.
The Targets in my area are pretty good, but the Kmarts will take like a week to do anything.
I think it sort of differs between stores, because some of the ones like I've seen on like Amiibo launch days, they'll just keep a lot of them behind the desk, and you have to ask for them. I went to another one in a different area, and they were, you know, I walked in on the day where everyone was getting those Marth and Ike restocks, and they just had piles of them just sitting there waiting to be bought on, you know, I think the day that everyone got the restock. So yeah, I guess your usage may vary, or your mileage may vary. So what is your plan, Troy, without naming the store?
Well, there's a couple Targets here that are actually, they close at midnight.
Oh, okay.
So my plan is to be around the midnight and go, hey, do you mind waiting up like 2 minutes past and bringing me through?
Oh, that's sneaky. That's a fantastic idea, actually.
I don't know if they'll let me, but I'm sure if I ask nice enough.
Just stand there until they give you one. Once it passes, you know, 1 minute past midnight, they can't refuse service, surely.
No, it's just if you want me out of your shop, if you want to go home, you know what to do.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Yay, passive aggressiveness.
No, never. But yeah, we've also got some other Smash Bros. Range of amiibo coming. The next set is on the 4th of July. We've got Ganondorf, Dark Pit, Palutena, and Zero Suit Samus.
Go Boots.
And yeah, as well as those ones, there's a couple coming on the 23rd of July, which is Bowser Jr., Dr. Mario, and Captain Olimar.
Finally.
I'm sure I'll get some because it's just the way I always am, but I kind of want to get an Olimar. He does, and I've just recently started using him, and he's really annoying, and I could just train him to be the most annoying amiibo ever.
Do it.
I think I might.
he's one of the harder characters to use, isn't he?
Yeah, I won't say I'm very good with him. I just kind of avoid everyone and throw Pikmin at them until they get annoyed and come after me.
That's exactly why I use Sonic sometimes.
Oh, God, you're not a...
I don't mean it's him. It's just... Anyway.
Anyone halfway decent with Sonic can just push all of my buttons and make me annoyed so quickly.
I like to think Jigglypuff fulfills that role for me. Especially when everyone else decides to use Jigglypuff. My Jigglypuff.
But Kirby, though.
Also, a quick side note, Captain Olimar should unlock a racing suit Mario Kart 8.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The last one. And yes, I'll be doing a video for it for books.
Oh, thank you, Troy. You're taking,
you don't have to.
Taking many amiibo for the team.
Many. Several, even.
And somewhat on the topic of amiibo-ish, there was a new Smash Bros. 3DS bundle announced, which is coming with Smash Bros. On a 3DS, funnily enough. But yeah, it comes with a new 3DS, a Smash Bros. Cover plate, which I don't think has been available in Australia before. It's the sort of white and light grey, and it's got all the characters on it.
It's the European Ambassador exclusive plate.
Is it like a felt one, or is it a plastic? It just looked like it had an odd texture. It just looked like it had an odd texture to it.
It's that matte plastic that they use.
Okay. And I kind of like the look of this one. It's one of the nicer cover plates. And apparently it comes with a choice of the available amiibo when you buy it. So it's going to come with a Pikachu, basically.
I'll have a villager, thank you. No.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to grab one. I've got my new 3DS, but it's a pretty neat bundle. If you want to get a 3DS, getting Smash Bros. With it's a pretty good way to do it.
Neat bundle, but very odd timing.
Yeah, that's true. Do they have much else 3DS coming?
They've got the DLC coming out, and we don't know what they'll be announcing in a month. I mean, they could use that as a platform to say, hey, there's a whole bunch of new DLC coming out for Smash. Why don't you play it again?
And do we know if that cover plate is exclusive here as well, or if you're going to be able to buy it separately?
As far as I know, it's going to be exclusive to that bundle.
Oh, far out. I mean, so, collector's edition faceplates.
Well, yeah, but how many people are... there'll definitely be people out there, but not that many to warrant an entire bundle.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I just think that it's very weird. I think all the people who wanted Smash Brothers already have one. And all the people that wanted to upgrade to a new 3DS for one would already have the game. So it's a bit of a...
Yeah, like who's on the fence about it at this point, really?
Exactly.
But it's a nice bundle to have out there, so...
Yeah, totally. It'll be a nice thing to keep 3DS on shelves.
Yeah.
As long as they're not aiming to generate more 3DS sales, because I think it's not so much about that, so much as just giving value the stragglers.
Yeah. Well, on a completely different note, there was the Nintendo's financial briefing. I'm not quite sure what they call it. I don't fully understand it. Money is weird. But the first thing they announced when they did this about a week or so ago, Nintendo mentioned that they're teaming up with Universal to make theme park attractions at their theme parks based on Nintendo properties. How awesome is that?
It's crazy.
I saw that and I instantly thought, oh, are they going to make an actual Nintendo theme park? But I think they clarified that it's just going to be Nintendo sections of Universal theme parks. But still, that's kind of awesome. Like,
I think the best idea that they can really do here is a minecart from Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, yeah, like minecart roller coaster. Holy crap. That would be dangerous.
with jumps.
Is anyone watching an online series called Hey Ash, What You Playing?
I know of it, never watched it.
They did an episode about this ages ago, how Nintendo should do a theme park. And one of the things they said is there has to be a Star Fox ride, and then you're going through it all, and all the characters are talking to you, and right at the end there's a big corkscrew, the music's all epic, and then it just stops, and then it just says, do a barrel roll. That needs to happen.
This isn't an original thought. I'm sure I've heard it probably on another podcast, but how awesome would it be to have like a Mario Kart where everyone's wearing some sort of virtual reality headset, or and like you can see everyone driving around, but you can throw like virtual reality shells at each other, and like obviously you wouldn't do flips and crash when you get hit with a shell, but you know you could do some interesting things.
You
with
could
items,
spin
like,
around.
How cool would that be?
At worst, you could do like dodgem cars with Mario Kart.
Yeah, I mean, even that would be kind of cool. Just have you know a big M on my dodgem car.
Luigi Mansion Ghost House.
Yeah. Oh, dang.
Yes. I reckon some sort of Splatoon paintball area.
Oh.
Have you seen that event that Nintendo America are doing at the moment?
I know, right?
I don't know really what it is, but all I see is a bunch of happy people just covered in ink, and it makes me happy.
Yeah. And they're getting T-shirts and stuff. And
yeah, so it's a little off topic, but it's kind of, is it just like a big sort of wipeout-y obstacle course where you get shot with colored ink or something?
Well, yeah, it was a competition. And the winner, I saw the picture on Twitter.
Yeah.
The winner won the Wii U Splatoon bundle.
Oh, awesome.
So he's at home playing Splatoon.
Yeah, lucky that guy.
And I'm just here listening to the music on loop.
We're just here waiting for that 1 hour test fire, which we'll get to in a little moment. But yeah.
So is this one guy really enjoying the in-depth single player?
Oh, it's probably playing with all the reviewers.
I was just going to say, he's just playing with Andre from Game Explain.
Yeah.
They could do so much awesome stuff with this theme park. Like, just this one part of, you know, it's like a Pikmin theme thing, but you're walking through, like, giant plants and all that, and then the bugs, whatever the horrid ball robs, whatever they're called.
One of those boat things that goes down the river.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That'd be awesome. It has like the Pikmin music playing.
Wii Fit Gym.
No. It's just a gym. It's just a regular gym. They just give you tank tops that are blue.
Exactly. No, there's so much they could do. I bet a lot of it will actually end up being based on Mario and Pokemon, though.
Yeah, probably. I mean, not that that's a bad thing, but yeah, you're probably right. They're the most recognizable ones that people go, oh man, I can't wait to jump on Turtles or whatever you do in Mario.
Real life.
Yeah.
So I'm heading to Japan in 4 months. It's too much to hope that this will be up and running in 4 months at Universal Osaka.
Oh, totally.
Damn it.
I'm sure they mentioned it was like a couple of years out at least.
Damn it. Have to go again.
At the same financial thingamabobby, Nintendo mentioned that they've turned their first annual profit since 2011, which is kind of awesome. Seems like they've been floundering business wise for the last couple of years.
Idly ho, neighbor, you know.
God damn it. Everything seems to be going well, and it's probably because of Amiibo.
Things are looking up Milhouse, right?
you guys are the best.
I think the big part of it is because the US dollar is a lot stronger against the yen, they're getting more money from America, and that's sort of helping a bit with it.
I kind of get what you mean. Yeah, I'm not really up to date with exchange rates and how they work with multinational companies, but it's all very good that they're, you know, not losing money.
And I imagine the Wii U's been slightly profitable last year with Mario Kart and Smash Brothers coming out.
Totally. The goodwill around those two games and the, you know, ongoing support they're getting has to be, you know, getting the names out there with people.
Pokemon Alpha, Sapphire, Ruby. There's been a few big games. So.
And I mean, the new 3DS probably got a lot of people upgrading.
Mm. I think they mentioned that on there.
Yes.
There's been a fair bit of both, you know, retail and digital stuff. That, and I don't think that Nintendo were actually any direct financial strife.
Oh, God, no.
No, they could have kept themselves afloat for years and years, but, you know,
it's nice. Yeah, but it is nice that they've turned it around and now that they're starting to kind of, you know, discover that the internet exists.
Yeah.
I think it's only going to get better from here on out.
They got there in the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Dodo.
56K. I mean, it's good. Like, they've been doing a lot of good positive work over the last year with their Nintendo Directs being a lot more customer-focused. So it's good to see this getting rewarded.
Well, definitely. It definitely shows with the E3 approach as well, which we'll get to. Well, they have a much more direct-to-customer just avenue. E3 is typically all, this is what we're doing. Hey, shareholders, you like this? Yeah, Nintendo are just like, hey guys, you like our games, here's more.
But yeah, speaking of those, they've mentioned that they have their E3 plans up and running and they're doing another digital event like last year. Does that surprise anyone?
Not really.
No.
Like,
In the video, they're kind of like, oh yeah, we're doing that again.
Yeah, and I love that video. If anyone hasn't seen it, definitely go look on Nintendo's YouTube page for the announcement for their E3 plans. It's
Paul Bill Trinan.
Yeah,
that was so beautiful. that little boy who could speak Japanese. Get rid of Bill Trinan.
Bye, Bill.
Bye. You're fired.
And one of the more interesting things they announced there as well, in addition to the digital event, is the Nintendo World Championships are coming back. Like, that's kind of awesome.
I've got a Nintendo World Championship shirt that I wore to work that day.
Oh, that's... Did you know, like, before you knew, or did you just happen to wear it that day?
I stayed up until 2 a.m. just to watch the video. Well, not really. I just couldn't sleep, but I watched it anyway.
But, it helped.
I know what I'm wearing at work tomorrow.
Awesome. But, yeah, I don't think they've said much. I think it's just Los Angeles.
Yeah. So it's totally the world as long as the world's LA.
as long as you have, lots of money to fly to that one place in the world.
I got to say, it's
eligible.
I got to say, it's a good move for them. I mean, I think the Smash Brothers tournament really generated a lot of buzz at last year's E3, and I was I was interested to see what they could do this year that would match it. The closest I could think of would have been if they'd done Pokken Fighters, maybe, but this is just sort of blows it out of the park.
The fact that they're calling it just like Nintendo World Championships makes me think that they'll probably do Smash Bros, Mario Kart, probably a Splatoon thing. I don't know if Pokken will be ready at that point, but maybe that could be part of it.
Because the video was implying that it's going to be retro games.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Well, it's just like with Reggie playing all these retro games and even saying, I've been training on all these retro games.
Yeah,
it's true. There's a huge emphasis on retro. So
any NES remix?
Ooh.
It could be sort of like challenges like that.
Or like announcing a number 3 and we play that.
Yes, yeah, number 2 Super had NES.
The championship.
Oh, and then they'll show us how to get the warp whistle in number 3.
Did you see on Twitter, Fred Savage said, so what's this about a world championship and how do I get into it?
Yeah,
I didn't see that, but that's so cool.
Need to get him a power glove.
Yeah.
No, it's so bad.
The thing that I'm also looking forward to, because I quite enjoyed catching up on it last year, was the Treehouse streams.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. I didn't watch all of them, but when I had a spare moment, I tuned in and they were just fun. They were just super casual and
Nintendo fans like us, pretty much.
Yeah, really.
You get their jobs by basically being a Nintendo nerd that can translate from Japanese.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool to see all these names that you've, started to see around, Twitter and the internet, and they say, oh, hey, it's that person I recognize, and they're telling me things about Nintendo games. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I love watching them because, A, you get these awesome games played by people like us.
Mm.
There's that approach to it. It's relatable. And then you've got the actual digital event that'll kind of bring in everybody.
Yeah. And then, just like the tree houses extend, extra stuff for people that really want more than just the announcements, I guess.
I can see why some people would be annoyed that they're doing a digital event again, but I think it's the best. I mean, especially after you look at what happened with Skyward Sword a few years ago and how badly that demoed on stage, it's a lot better for them just to sort of be able to control the message a bit more.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'm being honest, I think I prefer the digital event to the standard, press briefing. Like, for the press, obviously, that makes a lot more sense because they're all in a big, theatre and, they get talked to.
That's really something to find those pretentious.
Yeah.
This is gaming, not the Emmys.
But you do miss out on, the awesome Zelda 2004 E3 reveal moments with... I mean, I still watch it and I just love hearing the crowd lose their shit about that game. Mm. And, I mean... That's cool.
I think that's an acceptable loss.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I miss that too, but...
I mean, honestly, for us that aren't physically there, every E3 thing is a digital event. So.
Yeah, and that's the point.
Yeah.
And as long as it doesn't end in fireworks. As you say,
unless they do a lot more interesting things, they don't have to build it around, you know, people walking onto a stage and things being projected behind them. And
that's what I don't like about all these E3 presentations now, is it's turned into this larger-than-life thing, and it's just completely missing the point of what gaming at heart is, and it's just a bunch of people sitting on a couch or in a computer chair playing a game.
Well, it's like you look at some of Konami's last few press conferences, and it's like, yeah, you guys shouldn't have done this. This just makes you even more of a laughing stock than you already are.
Yeah, pretty much. Tak Fuji.
2 million troops.
I'm going to look forward to like watching Ubisoft just because they're like ridiculously awkward every year. One last year that started with Iwata and Reggie fighting in Smash Brothers.
Yes. Oh, how cool was that?
It was as soon as I started, I'm like, okay, they've won E3.
Yeah. 3 seconds, they win.
Yep.
I think that's another thing with Nintendo's new focus is they are a lot more about poking fun at themselves. I mean, you don't see the CEO of Sony doing a stupid video like that, whereas Iwata's just got this lovable personality and it works great.
Well, there's that, and there's a lot more focus with things like Iwata asks in general, that Nintendo just have this awareness that, hey, we are making the games.
And they realize that people want to know about them, and they're a lot more open and transparent about it. They don't have to go through, you know, I'm sure they still do go through a whole bunch of people to approve what they're allowed to say, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like a corporate thing to, you know, to us on the other end.
Yeah.
It's just probably a bit... I'm interested to see what they've got to show this year that's going to be new. I mean, especially with no Zelda apparently being shown.
Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't know about Splatoon until this time last year, did we?
Yeah, that's what exactly. And even the year before, Donkey Kong, Tropical Freeze, Mario Kart 8, Super Mario 3D World. Oh, clearly they're doing Metroid Prime 4. That's
clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
That's clearly what we said last year and the year before.
I'm interested to know what the 3DS has got because we don't know much about the end of this year for the 3DS. There's nothing on the horizon for
it. About this time in the DS's life, you know, there were just no games other than Pokemon games. So, like, maybe the 3DS is getting to the end of its life, or maybe they're ramping up the new 3DS kind of exclusive stuff. Who knows?
Speaking of Nintendo future plans, and I think they've said that they're not going to be talking about the NX at E3, but they might talk about the 5 mobile games they've got planned to happen before 2017.
They have said that they have said that they won't be.
Oh, so they specifically won't be talking about those?
Yeah, I did. Well, I've read that somewhere.
But... Way to ruin my segue.
Sorry.
Anyway, Nintendo are planning 5 mobile games before 2017, and apparently the producer of Mario Kart is in charge, so...
Yeah, Hideki Ono. They're looking to release one of those games before the end of this year.
Okay. And we could probably do a whole episode of just like speculating what they could do, but I'm sure they'll do something more interesting than a, you know, Mario Endless Runner. We will see.
Donkey Kong Jungle Beat.
Oh, they could just do Banana Kong, but with Donkey Kong in it, and no one could do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be like new Metroid mobile game. Oh my god! It's a puzzle game.
Oh, it could be like an alternate reality or like a augmented reality scan visor.
Flappy
just
Mario.
Scans all your things.
You know, like something like Ingress, but Metroid. I'd play that.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
I don't know. I'm just staring at my Samus Amiibo going.
Do you do that most days, Troy?
I do.
Metroid pinball on the iPhone?
Man, I'd be down for that. That'd be pretty as hell.
Actually, it would be.
Mm.
Just don't play it while running, you'll tilt the machine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's mobile games. Speaking of other new releases, I guess, is it Full Blocks?
Full Blocks, yeah.
Full Blocks.
You've typed it right there. Sorry.
Cool. Full Blocks is out, or Stretchmo, apparently, if you're in the US, or Daniel.
Have I mentioned I've got a US 3DS? I don't think I have.
Don't you have, like, 12?
One, two, three, four, five.
Oh, you're not as bad as Vuk, though.
Oh, God, no.
I haven't played any of it or, you know, any of the Pushmo games at all. Apparently you've played a little bit of Stretchmo Full Blocks, Daniel. Got anything to to mention anything interesting about it.
Well, you said you played it as well, right, Troy?
Yeah, I guess. You can sum it up as same as the others, but you can pull blocks from out the side of other blocks.
I mean, it makes you have to think differently, which is what I like. They've got these three games all about pushing and pulling, but the way that you interact with everything is different, and it makes you... But each one has a different way of thinking to solve the puzzles. I mean, it's a lot of fun, out of all the new franchises that Nintendo's made this generation, this is the one that's had four games.
I guess they're probably, like, some of the easier to make games. I guess they're not, you know, they wouldn't have as big a budget or need as big a budget.
And I mean, they all look like they work off the exact same engine, so it would just be about changing the way the game plays and then making the stages around it. This one's a bit different to the rest in that it's sort of free to play. Like, you download I want to call it a demo because you get like 5-10 levels
to
play through.
Let's call it shareware. People like that word.
Shareware.
It's not even that good.
Yeah. It's very limited. I mean, it'll take you about 10 minutes to play through what's there, and then it's like, if you like this, you can buy the rest. Or you can buy it all in one convenient bundle for a cheaper price.
It feels like Commander Keen at the end with that sort of stuff at the end, definitely.
Except you don't have to send in a fax to get your floppy disks in the mail.
Sure you can, but...
I want to fax Nintendo to get them to send me a physical copy of Full Blocks and see what happens.
You can't do that because that'll disconnect their 56K modem. Anyway. it's literally just a tutorial with one level at the end of it, and then, hey, do you want to buy more?
Well, I guess that's enough to, you know, you can know what's, you know, what the game is and whether you're probably going to enjoy the rest.
I mean, Iwata said free to start.
Yeah.
That's the best way to explain this.
Okay.
Sorry, Flame, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I mean, it's, you know, I liked Pushmo or whatever they're called over here because I don't know why they need different names for them. But I've enjoyed the other two, and this, you know, it's a little quick puzzle game. Like, this is great for the 3DS. I haven't played the WiiWare one, though.
Is it a game that would work on mobile?
No.
No?
Just simply the controls.
Okay, because, I've not played anything. I'm not sure if it's, you know, mostly touch or if you, you know, have other things to deal with.
It's a very puzzly element in the Mario games, like Mario 3D World.
Okay.
It'd be like an advanced first version of that.
So there was a clone of Pushmo made for the Android.
Okay.
It's called Block Shift, and it actually, because you can save stages you made as QR codes, and the game that someone made for the Android could read the Pushmo AR codes, QR codes.
Oh, that's sneaky.
I know.
Oh, that's great, though.
Block Shift. God damn, that's original.
Well, that game's out. So we should jump on to the last piece of news. It's great news. The Splatoon global test fire has happened a couple of times last weekend, or probably the weekend before by the time this comes out. And there's another one happening this coming weekend on Sunday for people in Western Australia or Western time, 6 a.m. So have fun with that. I'm going to be waking up at like 5:30. For Eastern Standard Time is 8 a.m. and Central Time is 7:30 a.m. Yeah, on the Sunday coming up. Who's waking up?
Yes,
everyone's waking up for this.
I'm not.
I completely missed out on the last one, so I feel obligated to play this.
I am pretty sure I'm going to enjoy Splatoon when it comes out. I had a lot of fun with Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. So I'm completely confident I'm going to like this game when it comes out. So I'm not going to...
You just don't want to wake up at 5:30 in the morning, ever?
I wake up 5:30 on a normal day. I'd like to try and at least sleep into 6 a.m.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, you can wake up at 6 a.m. and then, boom, you can play.
Just
be very tired.
No.
It's such an awesome game to play. Yes, you can turn off motion controls. Just for everyone that's put off by that. I actually prefer it with it because it kind of adds to that kind of element of being able to touch up a shot. That makes sense.
Yeah. What's like in Zelda on the 3DS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's probably just going to be like an analog stick for your big wired aiming, and then just your tiny specific aiming would be with the motion, which seems perfectly fine to me.
So I'll be interested to know if they use any of the feedback from the first test fire to tweak the game slightly.
Yeah, I wonder if the rollers will be as prolific as I hear they were in the first test
fire. That's the thing, though, because I played the last one, and they really weren't that overpowered.
Okay. It's I just heard that everyone used them. Like,
well, that's the thing. It was like 3 hours. But yes, they're powerful, short range. It's like shotguns in Halo.
Ah, yeah.
You know what works well against them? Anything ranged.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I just don't think people had enough time to figure that much out, because I favored the roller so much, and I was getting killed by every other weapon a lot.
And I mean,
I guess it's probably, from what I hear, that there were only like the 3 very basic weapons available. So when there's a bit more of a diverse weapon set, people might be experimenting a bit more, I guess.
Exactly. And they're intending to, you know, have more as DLC, free DLC.
Yeah.
As they go along.
Can't wait for the game to come out. It's only a few weeks away.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. That's not far. Less than 2 weeks now.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've not been this excited for a video game in a long time.
I'm still a bit interested in how the single player is going to pan out. I mean, I'm more of a, unless I'm with a group of friends, I'm more of a single player person.
Well, I mean, it looks like it's something that's not going to need a group of friends so much to play, because they're de-emphasizing, like, you know, team speak and stuff like that. Yeah, so you probably don't have to coordinate with someone. It's just going
to
be...
You're not going to have friends to play with online until August anyway.
I mean, as I said, I've played a lot of Plants vs. Zombies online, and I don't even turn the mic on for that because I don't want to hear a bunch of 12-year-olds going off of me. And, I mean, that game skews really young, so it is a bunch of 12-year-olds. And
yeah, literal 12-year-olds, not adults behaving like 12-year-olds.
But, I mean, even in that, when no one's communicating with each other, you pick your class and you sort of know what your role is and you stick to that.
So yeah, that's what I imagine Splatoon will do as well. It'll sort of, you'll have a defined role, or you'll be able to, you know, adapt to what's going on and work out what you need to do.
Well, your weapon sets are actually set.
Yeah.
Okay.
So depending on what primary you pick, the secondary and your grenades and all of that, your super, they're all defined as well by what your primary.
Okay, so you kind of dictated as to what your role is at that point.
Yeah.
Can I ask, because I haven't really... I'm not sure. Does each squid have like a health bar, or is it pretty much one hit and you're dead sort of thing?
You know how some games, like shooters, don't have health bars and you just have your screen covered in blood?
Yep.
It's like that, but ink.
And you can, but it just heals over time, or?
Yeah, well, standing on your own ink will heal you faster.
Okay, cool. It's because, I mean, I was just, there's no healer class or anything.
No, but I guess you've got like more scouty roles, sniper or ranged.
Yeah.
Close range, which also tends to work, like, that's your rollers.
Yeah.
To cover a lot of ground as well. But ultimately, this is meant to be about covering ground over.
Yeah, that's it. It's not about splatting or killing people. It's about, you know, covering turf in your war.
Having said that, the next couple of game types, so like your splat zones, which is your King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Splatting opponents is going to be a lot more beneficial to winning.
Yeah, totally, because that'll cover that area with your ink, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you want to cover it, which and it's going to be a lot easier to cover that with your own ink if there's no one around undoing your progress.
Mm, totally. Well, unless anyone else has other Splatoon-y things, we might go to a break.
Yay!
Cool. Ooh. See you on the other side. Side.
This Vukcast, it's number one. Ho ho!
Thanks, Luigi. We're back. And so we're going to talk about some
games. It's like they're really here.
I know, right? We're going to talk about some games that came out pretty recently, or, you know, somewhat recently, I guess. One that we haven't talked about that's been out for a couple of weeks now are the new Street Pass games, Street Pass Fishing and Street Pass Zombies, which, luckily enough, we've all had a bit of a play of.
Woo.
How far have you guys gotten in either of those games?
Very.
Fishing, I'm up to like, I mean, I'm past the first island, and then I'm just sort of doing random other islands. zombies. I think I just got past a gas station or something.
Yeah, like with the fishing one, I'm finding that hard to get past because I street pass the same people. I just haven't been to uni last week because I had a break, so there were no wide range of colours and hobbies for people. But sort of with street pass zombies, how would you describe it? I guess it's sort of like a hack and slash, and your weapon is dependent on who you street passed with last.
It's
depending on their hobbies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I find it's a much better approach to the skill-based Street Pass game than Street Pass Squad.
Yeah.
Because like, looking back, Street Pass Squad is just frustrating to play. And I find the zombies are a lot different.
Street Pass Squad is the... yeah, okay, cool. Again, they have different names in the US. So I'm just trying to...
Oh, of course they do.
I mean, once you finish Street Pass Squad once, it's like, it's hard to go back to. But, zombies definitely feels a lot better. And I don't know, there's something about it, just a bit more fun.
One of the interesting things I noticed on the main menu is it was developed by Goodfeel, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they do Kirby's Epic Yarn?
I believe so. In front of me.
But that kind of surprised me that, I guess it's kind of cool that they are doing, they're getting actual well-known developers.
Hey, they also did Street Pass Squad.
Okay.
Propay, who did the fishing one, they also did the flower garden one. And
I was just going to say that one feels like an expansion on the garden.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who did the other ones. I can't find them anywhere.
Grezzo or something.
Yeah, Grezzo and Spike Chunsoft. I think Grezzo did Monster Manor, the Haunted Mansion, and Spike Chunsoft. Oh, it's just every day. I'm like, I need more puzzles, and then
Grezzo did Flower Town.
Okay,
because it's known in America, or Street Pass Garden.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to describe zombies a little bit more, as well as the hack and slash part is, I guess, the main gameplay, but it puts it in like an interesting sort of story where the people that you street pass with are survivors that help you survive, funnily enough. Like there's different situations you put in. There's somewhere, just have to defend a door from zombies trying to attack it, or somewhere you need to search taxi boots for things.
Wheels.
Find water bottles and... Yeah, it's really interesting. Like it's a lot more. I haven't played any of the previous wave of Street Pass games, but it's a lot more, I guess. I don't want to say intense, but a lot more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Involved.
It demands. Involved is exactly what I was looking for. But a lot more involved than the original Street Pass games, which are pretty much just keep pressing A or sometimes use a magic attack in Street Pass Quest.
MeForce and Monster Manor do require. Especially Monster Manor Mansion, that requires a bit of strategy to what you're doing with your pieces. The shmup one, I mean, that's a bit similar to the zombie one in that you are sort of doing a quick 2-minute sort of mission, and it relies on what color that the street passes you got were.
Okay.
In regards to the weapon you've got. So, and there's a lot of strategy. It's a really good little shmup. It's just... pretty hard and repetitive after all.
Towards getting a lot of street passes for it to work.
Yeah.
Whereas the zombies one isn't.
Yeah, zombies I can do quite easily on just like if you get someone with a sword or even. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think the extra street passes, all they do is just give you an extra weapon to use if the first one breaks. Is that right?
And you can team up with one of them as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's if they already have it.
Yeah. And your first street pass is going to be like the guy that introduces the mission in a way.
There are zombies here. Take this weapon.
It's just really cool how it involves people you know or people you might not know. Just sort of involves them in this weird little ongoing zombie survival story. It's really neat.
Well, yeah, that all ties into why I think street pass in general is just a great idea. It's just this achronical multiplayer.
Wow, you should trademark that.
Is it? That makes sense, right? In a different time.
In a different time. Yeah, that's a really cool way of thinking about it.
I mean, it's even more excitement when you see the little green light show up. It's like, I've got more reason to play these games later on. I think Street Pass Plaza is my second most played game on the 3DS, and that's just purely on the Street Pass games.
Yeah, I think it's I actually sadly think that eShop is my number one, but
oh, yeah. Just waiting for downloads.
Well, I'm thinking more because I do the eShop updates.
Oh, but, true, yeah.
Number two would be Street Pass Plaza, and that's like the main reason why I recommend 3DSs to people. It's like you don't need to be that heavy on games. You can just play with other people without playing with other people.
It's the one thing that the 3DS can do that no other gaming system can do.
Mate, if it has Nier.
Yeah, well, even
really that's garbage.
Ignoring you said that.
That was Nier.
Oh, no one knew.
Yeah. Emphasis on was. Anyway.
But yeah, and there's also Street Pass Fishing, which I'm not sure whether I like zombies or fishing more. They're both really neat, but like
Street Pass Fishing.
Yeah, relaxing. It's definitely that. Like basically every person that you Street Pass gives you a piece of bait to use on a fishing trip, and they can also help you out with pulling in bigger fish. And yeah, no, it's really neat. You depending on the types of bait that you use, you can get different types of fish, and there's a whole like
I know why you like the fishing one, Stephen.
Why?
Because it's made by Prope, who's headed by Yuji Naka, who made Sonic.
Oh, really?
Yes. So this was made by the guy who made Sonic.
In a roundabout way. Yeah.
Yes.
It's but, definitely I mean, not a Sonic
made,
game.
They also made a...
Probably like, better than every other Sonic game in the last 3 years.
They made a fishing game. They made a fishing game for the Wii called Let's Catch that was apparently really good. And this is pretty much just exactly the same.
They did Let's Tap.
Yes, that too.
Oh, they did Let's Everything, apparently.
Let's Fish.
Let's Street Pass.
Let's Mansion.
Let's Ivy the Kiwi. Wait, no.
Oh, you're on the same Wikipedia site.
I really like Street Pass Fishing. It's just...
It's relaxing. I mean,
I'm still on the initial island just because I've been street passing the same people for the last week or so, but it's good fun. And
I love the concept, but I'm starting to have that struggle of not having the right colours that I did with Street Pass Quest.
Yeah.
Or Save Me.
Like I literally just finished like Street Pass Quest completely the other day. It's taken me, 5 years or however long. It's just
really?
I got that final message that just says you've got everything you can from Street Pass Quest, so I put it in the vault.
Yeah,
I've got one or two more things to do on it, but I can't be bothered because apparently you need to get like one of the special keys, you need a certain colours to show up in a certain order.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Well, I must how have many 3DSs do you have again?
Yeah.
Only like three of them ever get turned on.
Well, maybe you should turn them on for the sake of Street Pass.
Turn them on
I actually have given my my Capture 2DS and my Australian 3DS, they have different coloured Miis to what mine is, so I can get stuff for the games. That's pathetic. But I mean, the fishing one, it's a lot like the gardening one in that, like, you're... Because after you catch the fish, then you can also do like an aquarium and that up and make new rods, which, I mean, making new rods is a lot like the mansion one. It's like you can fuse them together to make even better ones. So it sort of draws a lot of elements from the other games.
It's fishing the RPG.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of missed an opportunity to take a different attribute of your street passes.
Oh, like instead of the color or the hobby?
Yeah, so hobby is good. I thought that was really unique.
Mm.
And then, your army one, it's depending on how many street passes they have.
Okay.
So there's so many different things they could have taken, but they just recycled color. And I don't know.
What
it just feels
what
like
else
I'm,
could
I'm
have they
the
gone
game.
With? What else could have they gone with?
Sure.
Yeah.
The only thing with color is no one wears a white shirt.
No, never. Unless you street pass a church.
Yeah.
I'm saying I threw myself off.
Other attributes, what they could use that's not color or hobbies.
I guess I guess your birthday could be used, like the month
that's
of
exactly
your birthday.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They just introduced sharing birthday, so not that it would come in handy for fishing bait, but
they could use it in some weird way.
They could have added another attribute that could have been good for the fishing one in some
different
way.
Different baits depending on what month they're born or something.
What's your favorite food?
Yeah. Oh, and you can just use the food as bait.
Yeah.
Just throw it out there, see what fish bite.
Spaghetti.
Throw it into the ocean.
Looking on the street pass, you can put in your preferences, dogs or cats, or also your dream. So, I mean, one based on what you dream to do would be good, Although I don't know how I want to be a wizard could affect fishing at all.
Well, I mean, you could get a wizard rod and you just get magic fish.
It'll be a broomstick.
Oh, yeah.
Like a witch. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are the Street Pass games.
I mean, what, they're only like $5 each, if that.
I think, it was $10 for the set.
$9.10
You got to talk to the rabbit. Anyway, that's probably a sign that we've talked about Street Pass too long. onto the major release, which we've gotten months after it came out in the US. But Project Steam. No, is it? No, Codename Steam.
Codename Steam.
I should know that.
Project Mayhem. Oops.
Anyway.
Talking about how he got to play it.
I haven't played much of Codename Steam, but I played the demo a little bit. It's sort of a strategy RPG and in the vein of Valkyria Chronicles, but not really at all, I guess.
XCOM.
Someone take it from here who's actually played the full game.
I'd say it probably is more... I mean, it plays more like Valkyria Chronicles, but with an XCOM setting. I mean, I don't remember aiming or targeting being part of XCOM. It was just choosing your shot.
Yeah, but it's more kind of like moving your troops in a more personal setting and a small squad as well.
I mean, it straight up says Overwatch. Like, that's... that wasn't in Valkyria Chronicles. The concept was, but it wasn't called Overwatch back then, at least.
I mean, Overwatch has been, like, even like tabletop stuff like Warhammer 40K, that used to be a thing in that going way back. Codename Steam, it's the new game from Intelligent Systems revealed last year at E3. It's like a good dog. It's good.
Thank you, Brian Crescente. It's like a great ocean.
Too much water.
I mean, this was easily my most anticipated game out of last year's E3 because, I mean, it's just, oh, my God. I'm really getting into the turn-based strategy genre at the moment after Fire Emblem. I think I just finished Tom Clancy's Shadow Wars when this was announced. Yeah. And I'm like, I need this now. I need more turn-based games on the 3DS. This looks amazing. And
playing Shadow Wars, you were clearly thirsty for strategy.
Yeah. No, Shadow Wars is good. And so was that stupid Transformers game I played on the 3DS last year. But I mean, it's a comic book style art set in the late Victorian steampunk era where you lead a force of fictional characters led by Abraham Lincoln and take on Cthulhu-esque monsters. How is that not the most awesome idea for a game ever? Like, you suck Order 1886 for your boring steampunk setting. This is an awesome steampunk setting, and let's go save Queen Victoria from the aliens. This is brilliant. Yes. Brilliant. I need
let's
more.
Let's jump out the window of fucking hell.
Yes!
So, one of the big things that people complained about in the demo was the whole having to wait for your enemy to take a turn while... Because you couldn't see them, because it has the whole, not really fog of world, but, if you don't have line of sight, you can't see them, so you're just awkwardly waiting and sitting
there. Like what would happen in a real battle.
Yeah, but apparently they fixed that somehow.
Yeah, it's
basically a toggle to fast forward, and I think if it detects if it's just a redundant movement, it'll just skip it. That's what it feels like.
Thank God. That
I mean, when you catch them in Overwatch, it returns to real time. Or I'm pretty sure when they shoot you, even when they shoot you, it's still fast. Because I remember a battle I had yesterday. And I mean, that sort of makes a world of difference. Because I mean, it did take a while to sit through those turns. And while I sort of get why they had it like that, just making it a bit quicker really just makes things flow a lot better.
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, if thinking back to, Advance Wars or other, turn-based strategy games from before, the computer either moved really fast if they were invisible or, it was sort of redundant, so you just didn't just sit there looking at a screen until it was your turn again.
Even in Fire Emblem, you can just skip through the enemy's turn if you want to. You don't need to see it, and then you just come back and, why is everyone dead?
You just kind of see the aftermath.
Yeah.
Aftermath.
Oh, God damn it, Troy. you need to be on more often.
Sorry.
But yes, well, that's good. I'm glad they fixed that.
Yes, it's much better. Voice acting It's pretty much how you expect a comic book narration to be.
Oh, it's brilliant. This game is cheesy as hell, and I love every minute of it. It's just...
That's the thing. Yeah. It's cheesy voiceovers because it's a comic book. Have you guys watched, is it Curse of the Black Freighter? The Watchmen thing?
Nope.
No.
Okay. It's basically a motion comic thing.
Okay.
And it was meant to be part of the movie, but anyway, that had a corny voiceover as well. Just because it's a comic book, you're doing these voices in your head, and this is how they sound.
Yeah.
So it's just great.
How are you finding the difficulty, Troy? I know you're only four chapters in.
Well, I kind of got my way around. I didn't know how the game was designed in terms of keeping my troops together or kind of allowing some in terms of flanking. And I found out very quickly it's much more geared around keeping people at least in pairs.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really realize that, so I did very poorly in the first couple of missions before I got Lion.
Oh,
but once I got him, I got the hang of it.
It does
if you don't know how to play.
Yeah, which is why there's
a
demo.
To figure that out on your own.
I mean, it's good. I mean, part of me wishes that they would have made the game a bit more open to different play styles. I mean, a lot of the stages do have alternate routes you can take, but it is very much geared towards playing defensively because if you run forward and get caught in an enemy's Overwatch attack, you've sort of ruined yourself a bit, especially if that Overwatch attack stuns your character, because then you've lost the rest of their turn.
Exactly.
Unless you can hit them with a healing weapon, but it just does favor caution more than anything else.
I remember that being not so much a complaint, but just I guess something that people talked about with XCOM, at least among my friends. They were saying that you really, really had to be defensive because if you go out on a limb, almost 9 times out of 10, you're just going to have that character destroyed by an enemy you didn't know was there.
Well, keep in mind that I went into this game imagining it to be Fire Emblem because Fire Emblem and you got the group-based thing. I don't mean entirely, but the point being is in Fire Emblem, you could have your characters kind of go off in different directions. But A, you had an army big enough to do that, and B, they were generally strong enough to take on one or two things at a time. Codename Steam is meant to exchange turns much, much more than a Fire Emblem game.
Okay.
It's like move, shoot, and turn. Or shoot twice and turn, shoot 3 times and turn. You know, it's
a lot more fast-paced?
Meant to be, but again, I'm still got that mindset of a Fire Emblem game where I'm thinking everything through. So it's taken a lot longer, but once my turn is done,
I mean, you still
had that much accomplished.
I still think, I mean, thinking levels through does favor it a bit, especially like the later ones where there's a lot more verticality and then you have a character high up and you just sort of scope out where everyone else, all the enemies are. And then you decide, okay, I'm going to switch to Lion. I'm going to get him to go around there. And then I'm going to get Henry to just stay back and stay on Overwatch. Whereas I'll get Tom to sort of, try and scout around and use his punch gun to stun enemies or push them around.
That's the problem, is that you can't really have that sort of role mechanic in the same way as a typical strategy game because you have to keep them so close together.
Yeah.
You can't have a scout unless you're willing to accept that they might die because they're going up against 2 or 3 people.
I mean, that's true,
because they're always going to be facing you. You're always going in to their front lines, which means it's really hard to flank and get kills on them.
It is, but I mean, then you've also got the like the save points, and a tactic I've sort of found is you send a whole bunch of guys forward, collect coins, medals on the way, and then once a few of them die, you just go to the nearest save point, restore all, and then they're all back around you.
Well, yeah, but that also costs you the coins, which apparently go towards like a high score. So I get the impression that that's more of a fallback rather than a game design element.
It is, but I mean, playing for a high score. And I mean, this is sort of a story-based game, and those coins do unlock better weapons, but you can always go back and replay levels to sort of grind for coins if you want to.
Well, yeah, but I still ultimately feel like the game is pushing you towards playing, like, without dying and relying on that mechanic.
It's trying to keep as many coins as you can to, you know, get the best outcome.
And I wonder if that is sort of the Fire Emblem, the Fire Emblem DNA. Like, you look at the old Fire Emblem games, if you lose anyone, they're dead. They're gone forever. They're not coming back.
I guess it sounds like it gives a consequence to characters dying, but it's not like you can't get them back. It just means you still have to, you know, pay something for them dying.
Some levels will only have the one save point as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So once you use it, and it gets consistently more and more expensive throughout the entire chapter. So you can finish one level and use it, and it'll be 100. But in the next level, it'll be 200.
But if you don't use it in the first one, then it'll, you know, just be, it won't increase until you've actually used it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It also replenishes everybody's steam. So that means that you effectively get another turn. As long as you use it right, if you use it and then do everyone's initial turn, you've just wasted the save point.
Yeah, so you like do everything, make sure you've got a character that can go to that save point, then everyone can move again.
Yeah, move and shoot and all of that.
So, I mean, it sounds like there's a couple of ways to play it. Like, you can be, you know, trying to go for the high score. You can do it, you know, there'll be a bit more lenience if you're willing to, you know, to sacrifice some coins to, you know, maybe
deal with your reckless play. It's one of those games where the story is more of an excuse to play it rather than the story being a part of the game itself.
Ah, okay.
Like, I mean, I just because I'm really enjoying the gameplay of it, So it's sort of hard to explain why I like it. I can see that, you know, I can see there's problems with it, and there's like some levels I've had to replay because I've gone forward too headstrong and then it sort of cost me. But that's just part of learning the game, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, I mean, sorry.
I was just going to say, in some levels it encourages you to take your time, and in other levels it just spawns more units the longer you take.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe every level's meant to be a different approach instead of just
like
a different
puzzle each level by the sounds of things.
Almost.
There's like a level early on where your mission, you know, before you've just been sort of trying to get to the end point, whereas this one, well, you've got to guide a character who's following you behind along, or there's other ones where you have to defend something from a bunch of aliens swarming in towards you.
Well, that escort level was the one that really got me into thinking that this game was more about keeping your team together, at least covering each other's backs.
Yeah.
Because, the first time I went through that level, I kind of went, oh, this character will clear a path, and then these two characters will protect her on her way. But she decided to follow the person clearing the path and died.
She always locks onto your leader. So whoever you've selected in the first slot, she'll follow it.
She's just the character that you're protecting in that mission, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're trying to get her to the window so you jump out of it.
Because of reasons. I mean, there's like, I think 10, 12 different characters, excluding the amiibos. And I mean, there's a few characters that play similarly, but there's like, you know, midway through the game, you'll get a character who's a sniper sort of class. And then there's like a healer early on. And you've got all these different sort of units, and each plays differently.
I'm getting the feeling like, I recently finished Transistor, and I felt like the game didn't really feel like it was the game it was meant to be until I did like a New Game Plus, where I had all the abilities and I could go back and interchange them and find my playing style. So it kind of sounds like that's happening here.
Have you tried the amiibos with it yet, Troy?
I did, and it was worded very vaguely, where it was saying that when you use them, they'll fight with you until they run out of power.
Yep. So
I was under the impression that when they died, you have to retap the amiibo.
Yep, you do.
That's not the case.
Really?
So how does it work?
I tap the amiibo in, and that character I can just choose as a for that mission.
Okay.
But Marth died because
he sucks.
Melee class.
You're going to say, how do they work? Because, like, obviously I only played the demo, but all the characters there were pretty much, you know, had guns. How does a melee character work in that context?
Not very well with Overwatch.
Fair enough.
Well, now I got moved down. But Marth's special ability is that he ignores Overwatch. So if an enemy catches him in Overwatch, he should ignore that attack.
Is that only for that one turn, though? Or
no,
that's in general, like a passive ability?
Yeah, that's his passive ability.
Okay, well, that didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Well,
he got mowed down.
You might want to get a better Marth.
Just go buy another one. They're out there everywhere.
Yeah, to be fair, I think I've got a Morph, not MP4.
I gotta say, but like Marth and Ike are pretty lackluster. Like Ike is really odd to use, but Robin and Lucina are just, dear God, are they amazing?
And yeah, I was going to say, I was wondering if either of you had Robin or Lucina, but then I realized you guys are you guys, and you probably do.
Yeah, I've got one or two amiibo.
Yeah. Just a couple.
Just a couple of all of them.
I may or may not be working on a video at the moment that showcases the Fire Emblem amiibos in Codename Steam for the site, which may or may not be up by the time this podcast goes up.
Hope so. I was wondering how we're going to do that, because I've been doing all the Wii U games.
Well, some idiot had to buy a 2DS with a capture card built in.
Are you going to need me to work?
I scanned him in on my 3DS, and then I just swapped the card over, and it's like, oh, yeah, this works.
Anyway, that's
cool. So, yeah.
I really like this. It's probably maybe my favorite game of the year. It's everything I hope for, and the update with the speed sort of fixes a lot of the issues that I had with the demo. But it's just lots of fun. I need to finish it off because this story is just insane.
I think your slogan should be, Daniel, he likes games that most people don't like.
Pretty much. It sucks. I had no one else to talk about Bloody Mighty Gunvolt or whatever. Gunvolt Striker with... No one cares.
Cool. Well, with that, let's finish off.
Haven't you missed me, Stephen?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And yeah, so well, with that, we'll go to a quick break, have someone talk to you, and then we'll be back in a moment.
Nobody listen to me.
Thanks, Wario. We listen to you. And we're back. We're just going to finish off the podcast and cover everything that's been happening on the site for the last couple of weeks. There's a few new reviews. There's Kirby and the Rainbow Paintbrush, which we didn't get to talk about here because James couldn't be here, sadly. But you can know all about what he thinks of it on the review, so check that out. There's also a review of Puzzles and Dragons Zed, or, you know, and the Mario Brothers edition, to see if you want to see what James thinks about that as well. There's a whole bunch of amiibo videos going up. Daniel and Troy are doing Codename Steam amiibo videos to see what the Fire Emblem characters do there. And there's going to be the Kirby's Rainbow Paintbrush amiibo video as well.
That one's already up.
Oh, that's already up. Cool.
Yeah.
Or you can watch that right now. Maybe the Codename Steam one right now. Depends on what Daniel does.
Yeah, it's almost
no,
done.
No guarantees. It won't be long. And also there's the recent episode of Touching is Good, which if you haven't seen it before, it's Daniel's video series on the Nintendo DS and some titles on that.
Magicalness. Last episode was Lost Magic on the DS. Episode 4 is
don't
being
make any
worked,
guarantees you can't
is,
keep.
Is being worked on, and I'm sure it'll be as not watched as Lost Magic has been, but episode 5 everyone will watch because I know it's a game everyone loves.
And so yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you know about it, but if you don't, if you want to have a look and find all of our Nintendo news, reviews, everything, it's at vooks.net. That's Vooks like books but with a V. Also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, they're all vooks.net, so VOOKSDOTNET. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Stephen Impson, and
I'm Worth Nintendo. WORTHINTENDO.
And Troy.
I'm stewed penguin, just like the delicacy.
Have you ever had stewed penguin?
I legally not allowed to talk about it.
And with that, we'll say goodbye. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.